fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to the Writing Cast, where we explore the craft of writing. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 51, The Lives on the Side. Your resource this time, and this is for you sci-fi space authors, is the Meet the Stars Launchpad 2008 blog entry by David Levine over at Tor.com. I'll link in the show notes, but he talks in detail about space travel and a variety of scientific ideas that are just amazing. I won't summarize. I can't do it justice. Go read. I will repeat one cool tidbit here. He says, the human body doesn't explode in a vacuum. One NASA volunteer was exposed to hard vacuum in a spacesuit test accident. He passed out after 14 seconds. His last conscious memory was of the water beginning to boil on his tongue. Wow, what an image. But they restored normal atmospheric pressure quickly, and he survived just fine. And this article is just filled with all sorts of good stuff, so definitely check it out. It has been a week. My cat Hikari is in the animal hospital with a liver problem, but he's starting to eat a little, and he's getting better. We're waiting on sonogram results to see how the prognosis will be, but so far it's pretty hopeful. Prayers are always appreciated. I will keep you updated on my blog. That's at gehinte.com/blog, so as soon as I know anything, I'm going to be posting it there. We moved at work, so now I'm sandwiched between a huge Borders and a fabulous yarn shop. And I'm an easy walk from the Fountain Pen Hospital. It's not a bad place. I'd enjoy it more if Hikari were well, but it's a half an hour shorter, so I can sneak in a little bit more writing time. It's kind of cool. HBO sent me a True Blood, this time spelt with the E, comic. Top Cow put it out, so I thought it would be a regular comic I could pick up at the comic shop, but it's not. It continues online at hbo.com/trueblood, and the comic has a QA with series creator Alan Ball, and then all of the posters that they have been putting up all over the city. I love the websites they have going for this. They've got truebeverage.com, no E in true. They've got AmericanVampireLeague.com. They have lovebitten.net, which is a human vampire dating service. They have fellowshipofthesun.org, and they have bloodcopy.com. And this one, the comic, actually has the release date, September 7th at 9 p.m. on HBO, and here's hoping it lives up to the hype. I was also sent a copy of Stanley Bronstein's AIQ, Achievement IQ Moments. It's the third in a series, and the first two are really good. They are focused on teaching you how to achieve more in life. This third one is interesting. He has 50 mini biographies of people who have achieved huge dreams. Some well-known, some not so well-known. I have a detailed review on this week's Knit Spirit, but I wanted to point out one aspect of the book here, and that's the breezy style of it. It gives the book an airy feel that makes it go by fast, and that makes it a joy to read. A tighter writing style would have killed that. So he breaks the rule about not using more words than you need to, writing tight, but he does it to good effect. I was offered the chance to review Skip Press's new book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Writing a Screenplay, and then interview him on the show, and I'm so psyched about this. The book arrived yesterday, and when I'm done reading it, I will get that interview scheduled. But this week, I want to talk about fleshing out the sideline characters, because those need to be full humans too, or whatever species they are. Hey, I write fantasy. Anyway, there are a few quick tricks. One, you can't spend as much time with them as you can with your main character. You have to allude to their emotional changes more than explore them. Show them, but show them in a sideline kind of a way. A novel gives more space for this than a short story, and in a short story, they might not grow at all. But here's a quick game for getting a side character through his paces. First, pick a trait, ideally an odd one. I'll say my character smokes, but he only smokes when he's home alone. Okay, pretty odd. Now the whys. Well, if you ask him, he'll say that's where he can just sit back and enjoy it. Consciously, that's as far as a character needs to go. But subconsciously, there should be more. Why does he feel this way? Because he feels uncomfortable smoking around others. Why? Because it might offend them. Now we're getting at something. Other people smoke in public, but he feels funny about it. Why? Because he puts the feelings of others above himself. Now let's take that to the point of a flaw. He values others above himself, and let's make it because he doesn't value himself enough. Maybe he's concerned about the health risks of secondhand smoke to other people, but he doesn't value himself enough to quit. How else might this play out? He might not buy the last of something because someone else might want it, or he might not argue if a store clerk shortchanges him or cheats him. Run with that for a while in the story and then let a pivotal incident knock him off course. Suddenly, he's just been shoved so badly that he's Mr. Me First. He lights up in front of an asthmatic pregnant woman. He cuts off other drivers. He talks on his cell phone during movies and plays. He's still not valuing himself, but he isn't valuing anyone else either. Now, let that be his personality for a while, probably annoying the protagonist as he goes. Then have a crash moment, something that makes this unsustainable. He strikes a new balance for the rest of the book, where he values himself and he values other people. You're only dedicating two scenes in a novel to this guy, both pivotal, and the rest is just how he acts between those arcs, between those pivotal moments. On the rewrite, tweak things to better lead him up to and bring him out of those moments. Do it in the first draft if you can, but I can't. I have to see the whole structure to polish it like that. And you can do this. The character might go through one change or several changes. The character might go through changes in stages. But the idea is you just get the major movement of how the character is going and then just have before and after snapshots only highlighting the change at that pivotal moment. And the reader will sort of get that other stuff is happening behind the scenes. It's not the focus, but that character picks up an entire life of his own, and it makes him really more interesting than the sort of cardboard sidekicks that tend to crop up every once in a while in manuscripts, or at least they crop up a lot in my manuscripts. I have one little announcement. I took part in two productions for Stories of the Third Wave to promote Merle Lafferty's novel Playing for Keeps, and both are up now. One is Love Lines, and the other is a parody of Knit Spirit. You can find both at merverse.com, MURVERSE.com. Your prompt for this time is a first line. What do you mean that's... fill in the blank as you see fit. That should wrap us up for this week. Until next time, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone.